Bibles, please turn over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. You'll also find this verse on our banner at the back table. This is the backbone or theme verse of our ministry, and that's where I want to start this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." This morning in Sunday school, I like to talk to you about why chapter and verse. Why chapter and verse? Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you use this message to speak to hearts, to prepare these people, Lord, for your service. I cannot do this myself. I need your wisdom, strength, and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why chapter and verse? This has been drilled into me since the age of 11. But little did I know how important it would be. When I was finished with Bible college, I thought, well, I'm going to get me a job, and in a couple of years I'll be out full-time in the ministry. But the Lord had other ideas. I got a job, all right. I got a job at the largest prison in Indiana, Westville Correctional Center, over 3,000 inmates at this place. I was a correctional officer there, and I was there for 18 years. I call it 18 years extra Bible college. They told me even though I was a preacher, I was not allowed to carry a Bible because this was considered non-state related material. Can you imagine that? A preacher in a prison without a Bible. But God would use this, you see, because my dad had trained me, you hear more about this in the morning service, to be able to be ready always to have an answer at the tip of my tongue with the reference, chapter and verse. And so an officer started asking me Bible questions. I started out at midnight till my ministry started. And anyway, he found out that I could answer them from memory with Bible verses. He told the inmates about it, and it caught on like wildfire. So they gave me the name Preacher Man, and it stuck. And that's one of the biggest names they call me these days, is Preacher Man. As a matter of fact, if you saw a van over by the cabin, it says Indiana Preacher Man on it, 1 Peter 3:15. That was made by the inmates. That was a Christmas present one year from them. It's made out of the same material they make the speed limit signs. Well, there wasn't a day that went by I worked at the prison that I didn't get to talk to somebody. Muslims, devil worshippers, agnostics, Jehovah Witnesses, you name it, I had to talk to them. And a lot of them, of course, were inmates, and of course, the officers had questions, and all this was supposed to be illegal, but by the time I left the prison, guess what? They were actually sending people to me for counseling, amen? But anyway, the Word of God is what did the convicting, and that's what started this ministry, because I had to have a verse for everything. Now, the first point is this. The Bible commands us to have an answer. How would you like to go to work every morning and you walk in and they say, "Preacher man, what's the verse for the day?" Now figure this out. You can't give them John 3:16 every day now, can you? That get old after a while. Amen. So what I did was I took advantage of this. I would pick a subject. Depending on who was asking, I'd start with salvation or salvation is not of works or something like that, a good way of witnessing, and I would give them a verse every single day with the reference. Not only officers did this, but inmates are the ones that started it, and they were serious about it. What they would do is they would have a piece of paper, a pad or something, and a pen, and they'd write these references down. They'd take them back to their dorms, and they would check them out, and they would have Bible studies with these. A lot of them wound up getting saved over this. Amen? So I had to have that along with everything else they asked me. So the Bible commands us in this verse right here, it says, be ready always to have an answer. Why should we have chapter? Because the Bible commands us to. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verses 20, 22, verses 20 and 21, have not I written unto thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of the truth, that thou mightest answer words of truth unto them that are sent unto thee? Notice it says that we can have the certainty of the words of the truth. Interesting, huh? Now, if you listen to Dr. So-and-so on the radio from the Theological Seminary, you know, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Dr. So-and-so from the Theological Seminary. And I am here to have you open your Bibles. And, it doesn't matter what version you use, because after all, we want you to be comfortable with it. And I'm going to give my opinion. But remember, nobody will really know for sure till we get to heaven what the answers, because there are no definite answers in the Bible. You ever heard that before? Yeah. Well, you know what? That's what they think. But my Bible says that we can know the certainty of the words of the truth. Amen? Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." And this is one of the reasons why my ministry at the prison itself became so popular. It's because the inmates would come and say, "Preacher man, the reason we're coming to you is because you will give us a definite answer from the Word of God. We're not used to that. We like this." It was fun. It really was. And then about 2.5 years in, God led me to start Scripture Memory Ministry, this present ministry I have. And so I had a lot of time off from the state, so I would use that time, all my vacation time, sick days, and personal days, I used that for traveling to preach to churches like this. And God used it in a mighty way. So the Bible commands us to have an answer. I was talking to your pastor here, and I like what he said, and it's very good. I agree with this 100%. You're going to hear this off and on. You have to have a purpose of why you're learning the verse. That's what helped me. And here is one good purpose right here. You want to have a definite answer from words of the Word of God. Now, the kids got up here, and they sang the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. What does that mean to you? Is it just a song? No, it's more than that. It says, I stand alone on the Word of God. We're depending upon the Word of God for the answers. Now, that makes a difference. So that right there is a good reason to memorize. Here's the second point. It saves time. It saves time. Now, my wife is not just along for the ride. She's also a good actor. You want to come up here a minute, dear? We have a little scenario we're going to give to you I think you'll enjoy. Let's say that we were members here of Mountain View Baptist Church, and we were going to go out visiting. I know your pastor believes in visiting. Amen? Okay, they're all smiling. Yep, they are. Anyway, we're going to go visiting, and also we're going to go door-to-door soul winning. And so this is how simple people knock on the door. Oh, well, they're not home. Next door. No, that's not how you do it, right? You knock like this. Okay, and the guy opens the door. Yes. Hello, my name is Dave, and this is my wife, Mary. We're out from Montview Baptist Church, and we'd like to invite you out to church and Sunday school. We tell them all about our wonderful pastor and how handsome he is, you know, and all that. And you know about our church and everything, about the times and services and so on, and how it would be nice to have them come and visit us. And then we ask him that $64 question, of course. If you die tonight, are you sure you go to heaven? Now, this guy's a little different. He says, well, he said, before we answer that, he says, I notice you have a Bible with you. I said, yes, sir. He said, I have a good question. He said, did God write the Bible or did man write the Bible? And I said, well, actually, God told men what to write. So God did write the Bible, but used men to write it. He said, really? He said, can you prove that from the Word of God? And I say, oh, sure. So this is what I do. Open up my Bible and say, let's see here. Where is that? 1 Corinthians. Let's see. Man, Ephesians. Pastor, first, we're just talking about this a couple of weeks in Bible study. Let's see. Where's this at? Can you help me?
Me?
Yeah, you. Can you help me where this is at?
I'm praying for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
For you.
Yeah. All right. So by the time you find it, if you do, you know what happens. The phone rings. The baby starts crying. Aunt Susie pulls up in the driveway. Your chance, thank you, dear, your chance to be able to talk to this person and answer the question just went out the window. This is why you need to be prepared. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:15-16, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says this, walk worthy toward them that without, redeeming the time. The Bible says in Psalms 90, verse 12, so teach us the number of days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This saves a lot of time being able to do this. Otherwise, what you're doing is wasting all your time and embarrassment of trying to find things in your Bible, flipping through. And this is only one good reason why you should have a chapter and verse. Now, number three, we're going to continue this scenario. If you do have a chapter and verse, you will have a verse for everything you teach. So let's do this the right way. So let's say I am prepared. So what I do is open my Bible and say, all right, here, sir, I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I turn it around, and of course, to be underlined in my Bible, say, here, sir, you read and I quote. Notice the first word here, sir, it says all. It says all Scripture, in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I explained to him what inspiration means and so on. Then I said, now, I told you that also God told men what to write. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, and I would turn there. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophets came not in the old time with the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He says, now that's interesting. I see he's interested to take it further. I said, now let me give you an example from the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right, how about Exodus chapter 20, verse 1? And it says, and God, not Moses, and God spake all these words, saying, I'm the Lord the God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt know other gods before me. And I give them all the way through verse 3. Then I go to the New Testament, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which are hereafter. He said, this is fascinating. I said, well, sir, I have one more thing, and then you can ask all the questions you want. Not only did God tell them what to write, he also told them what not to write. He said, really? I said, yeah. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4 says, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now, isn't that a little more impressive and a little more useful than standing there trying to flip through your Bible? Notice how much we got done in a short amount of time. It works. You say, well, preacher man, how in the wide world did you do that? Well, tonight we're going to teach you how to memorize Scripture, but let me give you a little example. This is what we call the gospel gun. Now, I know that you have no problem with guns in this state, amen? Anyway, this was made by an 11-year-old boy in the state of Washington years ago. He got tired of me shooting my finger, you know. But this is a good illustration, so we call it the gospel gun. Now, this is a six-shooter, so we got five verses here, so it'll easily fit. So we're going to load this thing up. Well, let's see here. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Okay. Then we got Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. And Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. Now, when you got a loaded gun and you want to use it and you want to practice, what do? You go to the shooting range. Boom, boom, boom. So what I would do to get ready is I would review these verses. Reference, first, and reference, reference, first, and reference. As if I was actually using them, if you like. Boom, boom, boom. Actually teaching this person I just got done talking to at this door, okay? I'm preparing myself ahead of time. So when the time comes, all I have to do is boom, 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 boom. Why? Because I'm ready, you see? And it saves time. Also, by the way, it takes away that fear, you know, saying, ah, da, 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 da. Hey, hello, pastor, are you available? Hello? You know, or I'll get back with you. Ever say that before? I'll get back with you, right? Yeah, huh? See, anyway, this helps you a lot. It helps you understand a little bit. Now, here's the neat thing. You can teach the Bible anywhere. You can teach the Bible anywhere. And I've been looking around, and I'm going to pick on this guy right here. Yeah, because you've got a smile on your face. What's your first name? What was that? Dallas. Ooh, I like that. That's easy to remember. Okay. So, let's say that Dallas has got a job. And he's making all this big bucks, you know. He's going to put his money in the offering plate to help pay for all the ministries around here. Amen? Anyway, just about to laugh at that. Anyway. So Dallas has got this job. And he works at a factory. And all he does all day long is this. Piecework. Just like this. Okay. And as Dallas is working, you know, they kind of get to know him a little bit, and they find out that he goes to this crazy fundamental church over here. And so one day they start teasing him and saying, hey, Dallas, preacher boy, hey, did you see that special last night on TV about the unicorn? Yeah, that's too bad. The unicorn never made it to the ark, you know. Yeah, well, he got lost, you know. And Dallas says, well, I didn't see that. I was at Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. Oh, that's right. You were getting that religion teacher. We were hearing the truth on TV. And he goes, well, actually, did you know the unicorns mentioned the Bible? Really? Oh, yeah. And believe it or not, every time it's mentioned after the flood. No kidding. Yeah. The Bible says in Job 39, verse 9, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? The Bible says in Numbers 23, 22, God brought them out of the land of Egypt. They have to wear the strength of the unicorn. The Bible says in Psalms 92, verse 10, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Hey, preacher boy, that's pretty good. Hey, at break time, can you talk to us and write those verses down? Why, sure. Now, notice what's happening here. He can go ahead and do his job, yet at the same time, he's being able to teach the Word of God. It works. I did this all the time at the prison. A lot of times they would have me just be the second officer on a trip. Now, we were at Westville, and Indianapolis was about 2.5 miles, 2.5 hours away. And so I loved being the second officer because I was the one that sat in the back with the inmate. I had the handcuff key. I had a captive audience. Amen? So we start talking, you know, and we start getting on the subject of the Bible. And he starts asking all these Bible questions to be able to teach them. And I always talk loud enough so the charge officer could hear too, so he'd get the conversation. Amen? This is so important. By the way, this is very biblical. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8, verses 29 to 31. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the book of Isaiah. It saith unto him, what? Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip, that he should come up and sit with him. Now notice, why did God pick Philip? Because he knew his Bible. He was prepared. Okay? And here he goes, and they picked him, and he's out in the middle of nowhere. And notice he knew what the guy was reading, the book of Isaiah. And he had no problem going on and teaching him. He said, go on and read the passage. Not only taught him about how to be saved, but also explained the doctrine of baptism. I'm glad he did, because the guy was a long way from a local church around here. Amen? So anyway, I'm glad that happened. But notice, why did God use him? Because he was prepared. And Philip was able to preach right there out in the middle of nowhere. You can do the same thing. A lot of the times, the Muslims, this was the neat part. When I worked midnights the first 2.5 years, the Muslims during the day would get together in groups and they'd harass you, making fun of you, you know, and trying to trick you up and ask crazy questions and always answer them anyway from the Bible. One of the ones they liked to ask was this: did Adam have a belly button? Oh, yeah. So what did you do? You answered it, okay? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed men out of the dust of the ground and breathed through his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A man was created in the dust of the ground, and not from the mother's womb. He didn't need a belly button. Oh, hey, that got him thinking. But anyway, at night, they'd all go to bed. Lights out. Then they'd come out one by one, like Nicodemus's, to the day room. It was light there. And they'd say, preacher man, I have questions for you. So here we are, and we wouldn't stand right there. Like, we kind of get a little more dim, you know, so they couldn't see him very well. And they'd ask all these questions. And that's how a lot of them wound up getting saved. Amen? You can preach the Bible anywhere, any place, any time. In your backyard, over the fence, while you're driving a car, think about it. I've done that many times while I'm driving a car and answering people's questions. You know, it's amazing when things come up. But see, you can preach and teach anywhere. It's so, so important. Now, here's the next thing. We're going to get back to Dallas here. People can check you out. People can check you out. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, that they received his word, but already it's in mind, and search the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. So now it's break time. So Dallas, what he does, is he gets some paper and some pens or pencil, and he writes down the references about the unicorn. He hands it to these guys. They say, thank you. They take them home. For the first time, or maybe the very first time, they open up their Bibles. And they start looking and saying, hey, wait a minute. That preacher boy was right. Look. Unicorn is in the Bible. And look, every one of those verses are after the flood. Well, I'll be. The next day when they come to work, all of a sudden their attitude's changed toward Brother Dallas over here. Hey, Dallas. Hey, preacher boy. Hey, at break time, would you mind if we ask you some more questions? That was quite interesting about that unicorn business. He said, why, sure. Guess what? He just got himself a mission field. Amen. He became the pastor of his company. Amen? Which is another point I want to bring up here. When you leave this church, Brother First is no longer the pastor. You say, what? You are. Think about it. Tomorrow morning when some of you go to work, Brother First can't go to work with every one of you. He can only be one place at once, right? So his job is to inform you and teach you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which fulfill your knowledge and understanding. He trains you, and you in turn go out and have your mission fields and your workplaces or whatever, and use what you've been taught. Amen. See? And this is why it's so important, because people can check you out. I had to have this all the time. The inmates were allowed to have Bibles. Believe me, they had everything from the Holy Quran to the Bible of Satan to the NIV to you name it. Some did have King James. A lot of them had King James by the time I was through. Amen. But anyway, I'm telling you that they were able to check it out. But they loved it because I had a verse for everything. I had a verse for everything, okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it is a folly to shame unto him. Okay, let's see here. Brother Tex, can you come on up here? I like Brother Tex. Want to turn around here? You're now an inmate. Okay? Get your hands out of your pocket, inmate. You might be hiding something. Oh, no, no, come. Just put them on your side here, okay? Now, where I work at the prison, they lived in dormitories. They didn't live in cells. Some of them did because they were bad guys. But most of them lived in dormitories, okay? So, when they would go places like the library or chow or recreation, one of the jobs of an officer is they had to shake them down. Why? Because they were famous for putting things in their pocket called contraband they weren't supposed to have. Especially at chow time. They liked to put oranges and apples in their pockets so they could go home and make homemade alcohol and stuff, you know. So, you're going to get shook down, okay? And so they would say, oh, man, preacher man, you have to shake me. And I say, yeah. Don't put your arms out like this. But the Bible says in Proverbs 18:17, he that seemeth first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. Thank you, Brother Tex. And they say, hey, that's pretty neat. So the next time we have a shakedown, they'll all say, hey, go to the preacher man. He'll shake you down, but he'll also quote a Bible verse and make it fun. And you know what? It worked. Because they found out that I did. And that started something. Then when I would see them, and I had a little time with them, like when I was on the dorm or we were walking somewhere, they say, preacher man, I have a Bible question. I heard you can answer it. And it starts a conversation, all because I had the nerve to quote a Bible verse when he was being shoved down. You see how that works? You'd be surprised the opportunities you would have if you could only drop a hint, like here and there. The last 7 years I was there, I was a ground unit. I loved it. I traveled all over the institution with a van, putting miles on their van, not mine, amen. It was nice. But anyway, I was always busy moving boxes, traveling with inmates and so on. And everywhere I'd go, they'd say, preacher man, where are you headed? And I'd say, heaven. Just like that. And it was neat because it started a conversation. They'd say, well, how do you know? Perfect opportunity. So I give them something like 1 John 5:13 or something, and it would start a conversation. And then I drop it because I had to go. Well, then when you see them again, they thought this through. You planted the seeds, and then when you got more time, you get to witness to them a little more, show them from the Bible how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. All because you were prepared. You see, people can check you out. It's so, so important. And by the way, you earn a reputation. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is rather be chosen than great riches and loving favor than silver and gold. And that's what happened to me. I had to earn the name preacher man. I earned my reputation. I was known as the Bible answer man and still am today as I travel around the churches. They call me the Bible answer man, the preacher man, the walking Bible. I had to earn that. Why? Because you earn your reputation. And you think about it. If people find out that you know the Bible well enough to be able to answer the questions, who do you think they're going to come to when they've got one? You. What an opportunity. Hey, you're too shy to go and talk to somebody, walk right up and talk to them. Guess what? You're in their reputation. They'll be coming to you. Amen. And that makes it a little easier, doesn't it? And that's what happened to me. I mean, I'm about as shy as a pig at supper time. I have no problem with that. But it was neat when they were coming to me. Because now they're interested. You're not have to break the ice or anything. It was so nice. It was so nice. Now, take your Bible to Psalms chapter 19. I want you to see something. This is another reason why I saw the importance of memorizing Scripture. And having a chapter and verse. Psalms 19 verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. There's another good verse, by the way. The Bible has definite answers. But what I want to get at here is the Bible does the convicting, not you. The Bible does the convicting, not you. And when you realize that, you will have a desire to learn God's Word. It's kind of neat, especially when you're dealing with these inmates. And some are about twice the size as you are. And they got bear claws and these big muscles bulging out from lifting weights in the weight yard all day, you know, and tattoos all over them. And just with one swipe like a bear claw, they could knock you cold. And you start talking about the Word of God. And at first they're mean and grouchy, but then you see the Word of God convict their hearts. And you see they get melted down. And you come see them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then they're on your side. Amen. And they go back to the dorm and say, hey, you got to listen to that preacher man over there. He knows what he's talking about. Come on over here. Amen. It was nice. See, if you understand this, it makes it a lot easier on you. Because a lot of you are doing it the hard way. You know, you're it's good to give your testimony and that helps. But you know what does the best? The Word of God. That's why we have it. Ephesians 6:17 says to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is your weapon. And when you start using it, it does the work. Because it's pure, it's right. The Holy Spirit uses it because He's the one that wrote it. And it starts convicting the hearts. It makes all the difference in the world. Listen to this verse, Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us when He talked to us by the way, when He opened unto us the Scriptures? I love this. This is the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Notice they said their hearts burned within them. Has this ever happened to you? You come here to this wonderful church, and you sit here in the pew, and your pastor's up here preaching, and you go, amen, brother, preach it. Then all of a sudden, he starts hitting on the sin that you're working on this week and committing all the time. You thought, wait a minute. Is him and Wilma got some kind of a secret video camera following me around? What's going on here? And you get more and more mad, and all he's doing is preaching the Bible. And then when the invitation is given, you say, well, you know what? Most people come forward to the invitation. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk out of this church and I'm not coming back and I'm going to roast first for dinner. You know why? They didn't realize something. It was the Word of God convicting their hearts. And you'd be surprised how much the Word of God will do that. The Word of God will convict hearts. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so shall the words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it. What time we got to finish, brother? Oh, good, good. Then I got time for an inmate story. Because I want to show you how the Word of God convicts. One of the last times I was at Midnights, I took a place of an officer who called in sick on segregation. This is where they put the bad boys. They were in cells. They got in trouble for fighting or doing drugs or something like that. And so they're all in these cells. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm taking my rounds around in the catwalks to make sure that nobody's hanging themselves, you know. And I hear this, preacher man, preacher man, when you get done with your rounds, come on down to cell 14. So I got done with my rounds, I checked into the officer station, let the officer know where I was going, and I went all the way down to the end of the catwalk, and behind me there's a wall, and here's this Muslim, and he's sitting there with a little table. And he's got two books in his hand. Believe it or not, one was the King James Bible. And the other was a book of all the contradictions, quote unquote, of the King James Bible. He had himself a little homemade candle he had made. He got a hold of some baby oil and somehow got a match from some officer that wasn't supposed to give him one. But anyway, he got it. And so he says, preacher man. He says, I'm so glad you're here. He says, I've heard all about you. You and I are going to have a little discussion tonight, and I'm going to show you why your Bible has got all these contradictions in it. And I said, well, this ought to be interesting. So we started out with things like, are there any missing books in the Bible in 18 years of Jesus' life? And I gave him verses for all this stuff. And about an hour and a half later, he got tired. And he said, preacher man, he says, I'm going to go to sleep. And I said, well, thank you for the review. I really enjoyed it. And I walked away. 6 months later, my ministry has started. They transferred me to days. I'm down in the tunnels. They have lots of those. And I'm monitoring the guys going to the chow hall. This black guy walks up to me and says, preacher man. He said, do you remember a black Muslim about 6 months ago in segregation who had a homemade candle and two books in his hand? I said, I sure do. He said, I want you to know something. He said, I was a Muslim too. And I was right next door. And I had the two same books. And I had a homemade candle. And I looked up all those verses you were quoting and found out you were telling the truth. I want you to know, well, I wound up getting saved. Amen. You see, you never know where the Bible's going to go. And that's what's so important. I like to do this. You know, if you go door to door, they don't have a lot of time. Just say, well, may I leave you a Bible verse. Just leave them a Bible verse or leave them a tract with a Bible verse on it. Why? Because the Word of God is what does the convicting, not us. It's so important to realize that. All right, last but not least is this. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14, whereas you don't know what shall be in the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. And then Hebrews 9:27 says, and as upon a man once to die, but after this the judgment. One of the lessons I learned a lot at the prison was this. You only have so much time with a person when you talk to them. You think, well, I'll have another opportunity. That's what I thought of the prison. They're not going anywhere. Some of them did go somewhere. The next day they were transferred to another institution. Or I didn't know it, but they were ready to go home. Or this happened, and this was a serious part. Later they did come to me and say, preacher man, you saved my life. I was thinking about committing suicide. And I look at them and say, I didn't save your life. The Word of God did. Now do you see how important it is? Ladies and gentlemen, we are not vacuum cleaner salesmen. He's not the head honcho over here trying with a big promotion to give you some big fat bonus if you sell so many vacuum cleaners. No, we're dealing with lives here. We're dealing with real souls. We're dealing with heaven and hell. And that's why it's important for you to be ready, because the time you have with that person may be your last. And that's why it's so important for you to be ready always to have an answer. And that's been drilled into me. And that's one of the reasons why, one of the main reasons why we have this ministry, is to show people the importance of not just memorizing the verses, but using them. And when you see the Word of God do what it does, it'll encourage you to be excited like I am about learning the Word of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and get ready for the morning message. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that these simple points will make people think. They'll ask questions. And Lord, that as the day goes on, they'll be more and more convicted about learning your word. Most of all, in the next service, Lord, that somebody is sure not to go into heaven, that today might be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.